I'm Maria Dudzak. I'm joined in the studio by Lee Skidmore, and she is here to give us some gardening tips as we, I guess, finish up the gardening season.
Right, yes. We are going to put the garden to bed, or start putting it to bed. So
when should you start doing that? I guess when is the time to start wrapping things up? It feels really cold today to me, but...
Well, I think we need to start a little bit at a time. You know, like if something's dead, take it out now. If it's disease, take it out now. I talked to a lot of people over the weekend of what they would want me to say about gardening, and everybody had a different idea of when to start and what to do. So I guess start with a definition. Excuse me. Putting the garden to bed simply means getting rid of the mess, cleaning up what's left, and packing away things for spring. It's kind of like, you know, when you go to bed at night, it's to get ready for the next day. So that's what you're actually doing. Also, since we won't be able to cover what everybody is interested in knowing about, I suggest that you go to a website, whether it be the Extension Office or the Farmer's Almanac or your favorite nursery, or you go back to your garden journal with the little tags that came with things you purchased and see what that says to do with your different things.
So some things you'll need to get rid of, but other things you may need to cover them over or something.
Well, like strawberries. You know, most people don't dig them up, whether they're in the ground or in pots. They just simply need to, you know, you want more plants next spring, then leave the runners on, bury the stems, and then you'll have a lot of plants in the spring. Or if you don't want any more strawberry plants, you cut the runners off. Make sure that you clean up the bed completely, get all the dead leaves and fluff the soil a bit so that you can look for grubs and insects and that kind of stuff. And then walk away. You're done with that bed. So, and that's what the list would tell you. And if you go to the Alaska Extension Office, it will give you specifics for this area.
Are there certain plants that you would need to cover? I guess you'd call it mulching, or what would you do for some plants? It seems like some things do need covering and other things just let them go.
Well, and again, it depends on the plant. I cover the ground with a thin layer of mulch because I think it helps hold the soil there. And when we have the pounding rains, the soil doesn't splash up on the plants. Newly planted maples, I would mulch. I would make sure that I have a nice slope from the trunk of the tree out 2.5 feet or so that poor little maple isn't sitting in water, because I don't know how many maples I've lost because water gets up to the trunk. The bark becomes soggy, and then when we get a hard freeze, the tree splits and it dies. And maples are expensive, so I make sure I have a slope. I put about 2 inches of mulch, but keep it away from the trunk where it touches the ground, and just let it go. You know, mine are all staked because they're young, and as soon as they're big enough to stand up and not flop around so much, then I'll remove the stake. So, and that was a big question with people this past weekend.
Was dealing with maples?
Dealing with young maples, because we buy them with thin trunks, like less than 1/2 inch, and they do need to be supported because some of the winds we have can just snap them. And so, you know, and now would be, as soon as they lose all their leaves and we've had a good frost, then you can shape the branches, trim them off. So if you want a nice round shape or a cylindrical shape, then you can prune them into that shape and then wait for spring.
And that's something you would do now? You prune them now?
No, I would not.
Wait until spring? Or
wait till all the leaves are gone.
Okay.
And then after you have a hard frost or a freeze, then I would... Just when I do mine, I like mine to be like an umbrella shape. So then I go ahead and prune off the branches that have grown 6 feet longer than the rest of them. And so I do it that way.
Okay, so you're waiting until all the leaves are gone, wait until there's been a hard frost.
Yes.
And then after that. So.
After that, yeah. And every gardener you talk to is going to have a different way of doing things. But this you know, this has been successful for me. And the maple tree was one of the things that people ask about. So were the strawberries.
Now, maples, they're losing all their leaves, and you'll have the leaves all over the lawn and the ground. Is that something that you can use to cover plants? Do you put it in your compost? What's the best thing to do with old leaves?
I don't like the maple leaves for that purpose because they seem to mat down and get squishy and soggy, and I find that my slugs hibernate in there or hide in there. I like to put those in the compost pile because it makes a nice cover to protect the compost pile from so much rain. But, you know, when in the fall, when they're dry and crisp, you can rub them in your hands and crush them and then put them in the garden as mulch or add them to the soil so that you've added organic material to the soil.
Okay. With respect to flowers, is there anything special you should be doing in the fall?
Well, your annuals are probably dying out right now. And so past the prime, I take them out. If it's not diseased, I put it in the compost pile. If it is diseased, I have an old microwave in the garage, and I put them in there and make sure that I've killed whatever's growing. And then I put that in the trash. You just have to, you know, it's not a do-it-all-today thing. If you see most of your annuals in this particular bed are dead or close to dead, then pull them out, fluff the soil, check the other plants that are in there, maybe add a little mulch, and that bed is done. And so the strawberries are done, and now the annual bed is done. And then another question that came up was my herbs. What do I do with my herbs? So if you planted chives, thyme, tarragon, marjoram, sage, rosemary, that kind of stuff, it's time to think about finishing it up. And the ones I just named will overwinter outside. Or you can pot up some and bring it inside, raise them on your windowsill, and then you have fresh herbs for the turkey dressing and the beef soup and pumpkin soup and all of those things that make the winter tolerable.
When you say finish them up, what do you mean by that?
Well, okay, I have basil. I have tons of basil. Okay, it's time, because it's starting to get leggy because the days are getting shorter. Harvest it. You know, pick the leaves off, dry them, and then pack them away for use later. Or make pesto so that I don't let it go to waste. Rosemary, I would pot and bring inside and then raise it as a windowsill plant. Thyme, leave it alone if you don't want to bring it inside because it will go dormant and then come back in the spring. And if you do pot it up because it's been in the ground all spring and summer, make sure that you check it for insects or damage. If it's been in a pot, check your pot, check the top of the soil, remove any moss that's growing there. I like to put bark on it so that it looks pretty and just sit in the window. And then I have fresh herbs all winter. You could put rocks on it or any of those things, but it's time to harvest some things to keep for use during the winter. If you go to like the Old Farmer's Almanac and print off their how to put your garden to bed and then cross out the things that don't apply to us, that gives you a list to work from, and it will help you, you know, when you finish with the last chore, bring your tools in, wipe the mud off, stand them in the garage where they're safe and not going to be wet all winter. Bring in your garden art if it's fragile or dainty or might fly away in the wind. And those things just help you. I mean, that list will just help you get things done quickly and easily.
And I know you're big about cleaning your tools. Is it more when you, in spring, it seems like you oil them or something, you wash them and...
And then put some kind of oil on them, like
mineral oil or something.
Something so that they don't continue, so they don't rust. And then in the spring, sharpen them so that they're ready to go. And if you do you know, you do a little bit now and you do a little bit in the spring. It's not, oh, I got to do it all today, which I think makes is overwhelming to us, and then we just quit. So I would do those things gently. It's time store seeds, columbine seeds, nasturtium seeds, any seeds that you want to try and raise that particular plant again. Bring them in, remove of much of the debris that comes in with them. Make sure they're good and dry. I wrap mine in wax paper and then put them in a box that's cut out. The outside of it's covered with aluminum foil so that they don't dry out. Put them in a dark place. And then in the spring, when I'm ready for columbine especially, I just go sprinkle it on the ground and they're ready to go.
So. You mentioned nasturtiums and columbine. Are there others that go to seed well and that plant well? Because some seeds, they don't seem to work as well as buying
them. New ones. I know people in the garden club save the blue poppies, the Mechanopsis, and have wonderful luck. And other people, I mean, I just go buy more plants. Pansies, petunias when you get those. I have geraniums with seed pods this year, so I'm going to try saving those. If you like squash, if you have heirloom plants, like I had heirloom tomatoes this year, so I'm going to saved some of the seeds. Tomatoes are another thing people ask a lot about. What do I do with my tomatoes? Continue harvesting. If the plant is almost gone, take the larger, ripe but not red tomatoes, wrap them in newspaper, put them in the garage or in the closet in a dark place, and they will continue to ripen. I pickle small green tomatoes, or I make green tomato relish or green tomato salsa. I love fried green tomatoes. So you can do all of those things with your tomatoes and then just pull the plant up. If it's not diseased, put it in compost or throw it away. If tomatoes fell on the ground and rotted and the seeds are there, you'll have tomatoes coming up everywhere. So, you know, we do that, or I do that. So, and I know many people buy tomato plants every year when you could save a little money by starting them indoors. So
I actually had tomato plants. This was years ago, but I had in my house and they never wanted to die and they kept producing. I even had them in the winter and I got to a point where they were so big I made them go away, but it was amazing how well they did indoors.
I've raised tomatoes indoors for years. I know garden club members who, I guess I shouldn't say no, we have garden club members who early fall will take tip cuttings and keep those going and root them and then plant them in early April. And they have tomatoes when the rest of us have seedlings 4 inches tall. And it's just people learn to glean information from others and then go ahead and plant it, do it, try it. So it's gardening is always fun.
And it is. It sounds like everybody has their own ideas and own techniques.
Absolutely.
And different things work for different people.
That's so true. So. Our meeting this month is the 21st at the library. And one of the things we're going to be talking about or doing is having a roundtable discussion of putting the garden to bed, which covers begonias, fuchsias, dahlias, you know, plants that each of us struggle to keep going. We had new people this year talk about how they kept their fuchsias over winter. And then we have our stalwarts who always have their fuchsias, begonias, dahlias, that they have raised for years and years and years, and the tubers look like basketballs. They're so big. And then those of us who are still trying to master the concept.
Okay, and I should remind folks, this is a call-in show, and we have about 15 minutes left. So if you have any questions, give us a call, 225-9655, or 1-800-557-5723, or maybe even if you have a tip you would like to share.
Oh, please do. If you've been successful with fuchsias and overwintering those by the stream, under the house, in the closet, call and tell us what you do, because we are always trying to master that skill.
Now, what about your bulbs? I know there are certain ones that need to be dug up, others that need to be left in place, is now the time to be messing with bulbs? Or
well, usually, again, let's go back to our list, either from the Extension office or from the Old Farmer's Almanac. It says first frost. Wait till that first frost so that the plant has a reason to start pulling its juices down into the tuber. And then take them inside. Let's talk about begonias. Take them inside, cut the plant off, and leave a little bit of stem and give the tuber a chance to dry out. Garden club members either take them all out of the soil and wrap them and put them in boxes, or just put the bucket or the planter on the shelf and just water it occasionally through the winter so that it doesn't dry out, and then excuse me, bring them out in the spring. So it's whichever you want to do. I like just leaving them in the pot. So.
And I know certain ones like calla lilies, I believe you have to, they will just rot if you don't get them out. Isn't that not true? Or
well, I used to think that you absolutely had to do that. And in on garden tours, we have seen bunches of calla lilies growing by garden streams around ponds. And the gardener who lives there says, nah, I just leave them. So I guess you have to know your soil if it's going to continue, if it's going to drain properly so that they're not sitting in water. It's okay to leave them there. I always dig mine up and bring them inside. So
is that true of any bulb? As long as it's not in a situation where it's waterlogged, if it's got good drainage, it should be able to be left in place? Or?
Well, the crocus and the tulips and the daffodils in the ground can be left in the ground. Even your fall crocus can be left in the ground or in its container. Tulips would prefer not to be overwintered in containers, I've been told, but I'm lazy and I just leave them in there and they seem to do fine. I don't think they're ever as robust as they were that very first year. It's time to give them their last bulb food or blood meal so that they've got plenty of nutrients for the spring. Iris, I just leave them in the ground or in the pot and I cut the leaves so that it's in a chevron shape pointing up, cut them about 6 inches and just leave them. That's what I learned from being a member of the Iris Society. That's what many of them do. You don't fertilize the iris, but they have to be, they can't sit in water if it's the tall bearded because then they rot. But your other iris, like your Japanese and your Siberian, and they'll grow anywhere, everywhere, and spread like wildfire. And then they have those fancy little frilly blossoms in the spring. So, again, you've got to know your plant and you've got to know your soil. Lilies, once I plant them, I just leave them, whether it's in a pot or in the flower beds. And I don't transplant them until, if it's in a plastic pot, it breaks the pot, or they start pushing each other up out of the ground. And then I'll pot them in, like, gallon pots for the plant sales or to give away. And it won't be long until the bulbs are in at the nursery.
So you also said you choose to take the pot and, I guess, put it in, where do you put it, like a cool, dark place? Where
it depends. No, I just leave everything outside.
Oh, okay.
I have one plant that I bring inside, and that's a pineapple lily, and it'll just die out and instantly, or die back instantly when it gets that first frost. It's beginning to slow down now. The leaves aren't upright anymore. They're starting to fall down, and it won't be long until it's time to cut it back and bring it inside. And then I just put it on the shelf in the corner in the garage. I don't water it. I don't do anything with it until I see the flower stalks start to come up in the spring. And it doesn't start to come up until July, and it blooms in August. And then November, it goes back into its corner.
If you wanted to dig up bulbs and store them, what is the proper way to do that?
Well, dig them up, wash them off, make sure they're not damaged. Then if you want to, oh, these are all just daffodils, I just need to put them in a box with newspaper or vermiculite, something that will keep them from sticking together and getting mushy and rotting. I think it's just easier to leave them in whatever. Eventually, your pot of daffodils is going to need to be replanted. And I just pull them up out of my pot, break them apart, plant them in the garden. And then I can start another pot of daffodils. I like big pots of daffodils along the front of my house in the spring. So, you know, just do it that way.
So for the most part, it sounds like it's best to just leave them in place.
I just leave them in. And that's partly because I'm lazy. I'm a lazy gardener. But I can't see making more work. If it's going to be happy in the ground all winter, why do I need to disturb it? There's other things I should be doing. I could go back and pull weeds. So.
Okay, and then you also mentioned that it will soon be time where you can purchase bulbs?
Within the next month, spring bulbs will be in.
And what are some of the types of bulbs that you'd be purchasing now?
Well, tulips, daffodils, crocus, some iris. Trying to think what else comes in about. That may be the major spring bulbs. Plant them now, and then they bloom in the spring. And then in the spring, we get fall bulbs. I hope I'm not mixing these terms up. But that's when we get our lilies primarily, our onions, potatoes, and then we plant those.
So the ones you're buying now, you're planting?
You plant now.
And you plant them, do you need to wait for a certain time? Or like the frost comes and then you do it, or you do it before the frost?
Well, in theory, all the bulbs that come in now for us to plant now have been cold treated. So they're ready for us to plant. Plant them in the ground, plant them in containers. If you want to force them, like the hyacinths or the daffodils for Christmas, I would plant those for another couple weeks. But then just put them in your container and put them in a sunny window and let them go.
Okay. And then come spring, you would buy the bulbs that then you plant and they come up.
Right away.
Oh, they do?
They do.
Interesting.
You'll see in the packaging that many of them have already sprouted. So just get them out of the bag as soon as possible. I suggest that you not take them out of the bag they come in and just lay them out where they can be exposed to the air and dry. That you buy them today, you plant them ASAP, leave them in the bag until you have everything ready to just plant them.
Okay, and again, that's coming up.
That's coming up. You talked about your amaryllis. Again, I just, after it blooms and the leaves die back, I put it under my kitchen sink, and it's been there for years and years and years. And then just watch it, water it occasionally, just so you give it a little bit of water. And then when you see the budstock come up, take it out, repot it, and put it in a sunny window and let it be.
And that's something that they have out and about for Christmas bloom, correct?
Yes.
And
yes.
It's not something you would generally have in your garden, correct? I mean, it's something indoors more so?
You can get hardy amaryllis for outside, but they're not spectacular like the indoor variety. And here, I don't know that it would make it outside. I think it may be too cold. But indoors, they are just beautiful. And you can get yellow and pink and red and striped and just all colors. And if you, I mean, once that this year, you can't, once you get it planted, it's going to grow. Next year, if you want to keep it cooler, you could put it in the refrigerator in a spot that you absolutely know isn't going to freeze, and then take it out after the other ones have started to grow so that you'll have blooms and then a space and then the ones you refrigerated so that they have, you have more time with them. We have Crocosmia, which is like a freesia. It has a long stem that wafts back and forth, and it has trumpet-shaped red, yellow, or orange flowers on it. And it's a corm, which looks like a bulb, but it's flat. And I just leave those in pots and in the ground. They spread rapidly. I planted, 20 one year, and now I have thousands. And they're beautiful, and they last, and they're blooming right now. So it's, you have your lilies, crocosmia, a few other things that have flowers. But the garden for us is pretty much done.
And it's definitely shorter, fewer hours of daylight. It's
right.
Quite obvious, too, and it's getting cooler.
It is.
As well.
It is. When you bring in, last year I forgot to bring in my stakes, my bamboo stakes and my, hutches and houses and containers, wire containers. And they're all going to be, they were all shorter this year because they got left out and rusted or rotted. So those need to come in. And they just need to be hung up. Spray paint them next year if you want them a different color. Gazing balls should probably come in because they may freeze and thaw and may cause them to crack. Just peruse your yard, see what needs to be done, and just start someplace.
Is there anything you need? Is now a good time, or I guess every day is a slug dealing with day, but is there anything special prior to winter that you can do to help have fewer slugs come spring?
Well, they're going to be laying eggs, so if you fluff the top couple inches of soil, you will see the eggs and you can pick them up. But the more adult slugs you can get out, the better. I don't know of any spray that you put on now to prevent slugs. Some people claim seaweed helps keep the slug population down, but.
And how easy are the eggs to spot? I would imagine they're really small, or do they come in clusters?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I've never seen slug eggs, so I don't know. I just know that people go out and fluff the soil and whatever they find. Right now you may find other kinds of insects.
Grubs or things.
Grubs or beetles, yeah, that kind of stuff. So you just need to look. And a list would help. Pictures would help. You just get out there and walk around and look.
Okay, and a last reminder, we just have a few minutes left, so if you have any questions or maybe you have some tips, please give us a call at 225-9655, 1-800-557-5723.
Yes, please call and give us tips. Yeah, well, we're always wanting new and different ways to try things. We all have microclimates, and so we're each trying to manage our own little space. Again, the meeting on the 21st at the library will be using what you produced, putting the garden to bed, a roundtable or panel discussion. And I've asked several of our premier growers who are always on the garden tour to come and tell what they do and how they put stuff away or how they care for stuff, and especially seeds, what they do.
Do you save many of your seeds? You did mention a few.
I don't. I do save. I try to save seeds. Nasturtiums and columbine are very easy for me. I always save the blue poppies or Mechanopsis. Never had anything grow, but the plants keep coming up from around the base. I have saved lily seeds. This year I'm going to save the geranium seeds and give that a try. Is that for us?
Yes. Oh.
Okay, we have a question.
We do have a caller who has knowledge of what slug eggs look like.
Oh, good.
So, hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, those detestable little things are not quite, I'd say they're a little bit bigger diameter than an eighth of an inch, and they're white, and they have a little bit of a translucent quality.
Okay.
And they're all kind of in a little pile together. And I think we've all been too busy taking notes to call.
Well, thank you. And when you see these little eggs, is it obvious? I mean, you
oh,
can...
yeah. It's really obvious.
Does it look sort of like Osmocote?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's a fertilizer that's in a little round capsule.
Oh.
Sometimes you see them on the surface of purchased plants.
Yeah, no, these have a kind of a more translucent quality.
Okay.
And they're shiny.
Shiny and
okay.
translucent.
Shiny, yeah.
And then are they deep? I mean, how do you just like fluff the surface and they're right there? Or how?
Yeah, they're not very deep.
Okay.
They can be under leaves, like she said, the maple leaves. So, yeah, I just squish them and throw them in the trash.
Okay, great.
Okay, thank you so much for the information.
Sure
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, that's very helpful. I'll have to go slug egg hunting later.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and we have another caller. Joanne is with us. Hello, Joanne.
Hi. My question is, I'm a beginning gardener, so I don't know a whole lot. I've done tomatoes a little bit, but I did them on a boat. And this on my porch, I have some wonderful little tomato plants going, and they look healthy and everything. But my porch is enclosed, it gets a lot of sun. But there's no blossoms or anything. Are they just going to produce them by themselves, or do I have to do something to them?
You said these were seedlings?
Well, somebody gave them to me. They were plants that started. They're about, 8 or 9 inches tall, and they're growing real good. And they're in pots. I have them in little pots and on the windowsill. And they look good, but they don't have any blooms.
They may be too young still.
Oh, okay.
So I would just keep them going, give them absolutely as much light as possible, keep them warm.
Right.
And just keep watching. Because you may have tomatoes yet, and if they don't fully ripen, there's other things that you can do with them.
Right. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for calling.
Thank you. And this seems to me kind of, isn't it late for tomatoes to be starting?
It is. Like my tomatoes are done. I need to just go finish pulling the green ones and decide what I'm going to do with those. But yeah, tomatoes are done. Most of our vegetables, like squash and pumpkins and those things, have produced as much as they will. It's time to use the last. I've got squash that are about 3 inches long, so that I will steam them whole or put them in soup or something. But yeah.
So if you did have essentially, I guess, starter tomatoes right now, is it something you'd bring inside?
Well, she said hers were in a closed porch. So if they're happy there, I would not move them and just hope that maybe they will produce. When it gets much cooler and much darker, I would bring them inside and put them under
artificial light.
Light.
Yeah, I was thinking, because it seems like the hours of daylight are just shortening so much.
Yeah. Well, we know we can raise tomatoes indoors because we have those aerial gardens.
Right.
Right. So she could put them under something like that, or she could just put a grow light in a lamp or something that she could then put by the tomatoes. Or fluorescent tubes close to the tomatoes.
Okay.
Yeah. It'd be interesting.
So have time for maybe one more phone call, one or two calls. So last chance here if you have a comment or a call. 225-9655, 1-800-557-5723. And do you have any other thoughts?
Well, we're doing this again next week, correct? Still talking about putting the garden to bed.
We were going to get together next week. Did we discuss that?
I thought I wrote down 14th and 21st.
Oh, okay then.
Well, was it? But no, if
we are out of questions, or I don't know.
If we're out of questions, I was going to say I would get information on roses, hydrangeas, rhodies, and some of those things that we didn't cover today.
Okay. Oh, and Deb Turnbull has come in. Hi, Deb.
Hi.
With a question.
Okay. So I came up this weekend to put the KRBD garden to bed and found I have a number of vegetables that have bolted, so they've blossomed. It was loaded with honeybees.
Hmm.
And so I didn't do anything.
Oh, thank you. I left
it for the bees. So yes. I'm wondering if other people noticed in the beautiful sunny weather over the weekend if they've allowed things in their gardens to bolt, or if they're in bloom, did they notice a lot of bees? This was the most bee action I've seen in that garden all summer.
Wow. And they may be the mason bees.
Which are not honeybees?
Well, I think they're in the same family. They do pollinate.
I don't think they make honey.
I would say we had a whole program on the mason bees.
Yeah. I don't remember the
Well, it was fascinating to see all the bees in there this weekend because it was totally unexpected, and I was like, well, I can't cut this down now.
No,
I have to leave it for these bees.
Bee, leave it right there.
Yeah. I did.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
So maybe when, if you're coming back next weekend, we can talk a little more about those bees. But I was thinking if people are out there and things are in blossom, and even though it's time to put, obviously this morning was a big indicator, it was kind of cool out here, to put things to bed, that are they gathering for their winter? Are they, you know, getting ready to, do they hibernate here?
There's not much information on mason bees in this particular area. I know that there were some people looking to see if we had them here, and you have to buy a special house for them. It's like little tubes in a square shape, and then they crawl in there and hibernate. But there's a lot of information on it's the Bee Gap that talks about mason bees.
Oh, well, I will research that then. I was delighted to see them in there.
Oh, anytime I see a bee, I'm happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been told there's some sort of bee that stays here, but it's not, it doesn't make honey. I don't know what they are.
But it could be the mason bee, but it could be any kind. There's 400 different varieties of bees.
There you go.
Well, they were very happy this weekend in the KRBD garden.
It wasn't the bumblebees, were they?
No. It wasn't a wasp. There was just an article somewhere that showed you the difference between the wasp and the bee, and I looked very carefully at the descriptions, and I thought, those are bees.
Those are bees? Fantastic.
Yes. All right. Well, we'll have to do some bee research. All right. Thank you very much, Deb. And we are out of time. Any last thoughts?
No, but just thank everybody for their comments. And I'm glad to have that information about slug eggs.
All right. Sounds great. And we'll look forward to further discussion next week.